Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and good evening, everybody.
Sam Green was just
another episode of the Autumn O'Berick podcast. Clearly, Luke's paying attention, obviously. Gavin Brewer's
Green was just Green just.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Autumn O'Better podcast. Let's do this.
What I was trying to say was, Greenwood just been sent off, red card.
What?
That's it?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah, yeah.
Oh!
Has he been a naughty boy?
It weren't a great challenge, to be honest.
He's been a naughty boy, and just as we've all been watching Academy Dreams as well. Farewell. How are we all, gentlemen? Are you all well?
Not too bad, thank you very much.
Super.
Nice to see you all after a hectic weekend. Sorry about the lateness. Everyone else is watching. Cal wastes more time than Villa when he's getting ready for these podcasts. So there we go. Waiting for him to prune himself and get himself ready. Right then, chaps, we may as well crack on. Gilly, let's go to the predictions first. Any changes in the predictions league table?
A little bit. So most people were feeling positive about the result of the weekend. Every single person bar one for a lead win. Jason, obviously, is the one. He's the outlier. Went for a draw. Sees himself go from rock bottom to mid-table.
Wow.
He moved up to 0 points.
Oh, fucking
hell. 0 points to mid-table?
About a set.
He's not really me. He's gone up two places. I might have over-egged that a little bit, but
there's only five in the league.
quick rundown of the table. So we've still got Jay Smart in the fans top of the league on 7 points. Luke's following them on five. It's myself and Carl on four. Stats on three. Joe from the Just Joe Show on two, joint with Si. Bren is on one. Jason is now on zero. Big Lou on minus two, and Scotty from LUTV on minus three.
Wow.
There's some proper football knowledge amongst us, like, isn't there?
Yeah. I'd be interested to see where they are sat in their football, you know, the FPL leagues and all that sort of stuff, like, you know, propping up the ball.
Gilly don't like FPL, though.
Yeah, no.
Gilly don't like that.
I don't know. He doesn't have time for that sort of shit, mate. He's too busy to control. This ticks over nicely and smoothly. He says.
Jimmy on internet, don't they?
So there was no Berardi and Coke at the weekend. Jay got stuck down a well, so wasn't available to do it. I'm hoping he's watching this. To be fair. So yeah, we're going to cover briefly the Villa game on tonight's show, chaps. So we're going to
just chuck a strawberry lace down to get JR. Well,
just chucking a shoelace down there. Carl, what did you make of the Villa game then?
Overall, I was happy with the result, but you know, I just thought the ref ruined it. Really, I don't mean to bang on about it. I don't mean to go straight into it. Like, but I don't know. I think the
he
ref.
Did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Fuck it. Like, you know, I just
I just fucking will.
Yeah. Fuck it. Two footer. I thought when we went down to 10 men, we played quite well and we held it together a lot better than I thought we would. All right, Jay. And I just thought that if we had 11 men on the pitch for the second half, I feel we could have nicked it. We even had one or two good chances there towards the end with Click, and there was one with Aronson, and Paddy had an effort. You know, there was it wasn't your typical playing with 10 men, I think, considering Villa should have probably beaten us, and they'll probably be a bit more disappointed with the result, I think, than I don't know, I don't speak for all of you, but I'm not very disappointed with that result from being 10 men for the goods of the second half. So overall, I think happy with a point. Disappointed that the ref absolutely made a shambles of the game, and he's not reffing this weekend, apparently. They've taken him out of the limelight. So that says it all, really, in my opinion. Like, and Jesse had a few things to say as well, but I don't think he brought himself into disrepute because he was only bringing up stuff that the Premier League and the Referees Association actually said to managers. So hopefully that gets a little bit more airtime because I think it deserves it, really.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of referees then, if we were to weigh in on Atwell's performance, Luke, you were there at the game. You made your trip up north to come and to come and. I even saw him. I was looking at my phone at half time. I just like, you know, Christ alive.
I kept looking for you too, Gab. I hadn't seen you, mate.
So what did you reckon to the ref's performance? Do you reckon he could have quite easily got hold of it earlier on? Do you think it got away from him? You know. Let's talk.
Yeah, a couple of things, mate. I still feel Sinisterra was prematurely booked for that first challenge. It was his first tackle. It was no malice in it. He slowed play down the first time. Yeah, fair enough. And you couldn't really argue if it was given, but I mean, I didn't really expect it. It's probably what I'd probably say. The second one, stupid. It was a red card, you know. But the inconsistency is what's done me. You know, Ashley Young probably should have been red carded. At least had two yellow cards. As should Leon Bailey as well. And I think that's the most frustrating thing about it. It's not. I don't think his performance was bad one way, but the opposite way it was. If he'd balanced it out, it'd have been a good refereeing performance. I think you couldn't have argued, but he didn't. So yeah, I think those two decisions massively, and the inconsistency just absolutely fucking mental in this league, isn't it?
Yeah, it's driving fans daft now at the moment. Like,
not even just with referees though, with VAR inconsistencies with a computer. Do you know what I mean? How can you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beginning to be on the joke now, isn't it, I suppose. But like you say, I mean, it only takes. I mean, everyone said it. You know, I haven't really gone on Twitter much. There are other social media platforms available, but I've not been on really much this weekend because everyone's literally saying the same thing. You know, that if the ref books either one or Bailey, Mings or Young early on, the whole time wasting thing gets cut. That's it, and then it forces them to start playing properly. But it's the warnings. You know, you could see that the ref was speaking to the Villa players. I mean, this isn't all. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are other obviously factors contributing to why we didn't win. You know, we wasted a few chances or whatever. But you know, when a team openly admits that they come to Elland Road to slow the pace down, to break up play, to make it harder for us to get that sort of flow coming.
Imagine hearing that at the end of every game as a fan of a club. Can you imagine Leeds fans hearing that coming from our manager at the end of a game? We've gone there just to, you know, turn up and try and nick a point and come away with it. Imagine having that sort of attitude towards football, though. Do you know what I mean? It's anti-football. It's wank. Him and Lampard are both the same.
I said it to one of my mates that I go with. I was like, it's embarrassing for Steven Gerrard to produce a footballing team that plays that way, considering the career he had in the teams he played in and how good he was. Well, they've spent a serious amount of cash. And
that's a good team that they've got.
Yeah.
It was a good team. I mean, it's still better man for man than us, but they did have a few players out. You know, they had the starting left-back, didn't they? Digne and Matty Cash was out as well. I mean, they still had a really, really good strong side. I mean, to bring somebody like Wendier off the bench, do you know what I mean? Danny Ings off the bench and players like that. It just shows the golfing class and the golfing amount of money that's been spent at the clubs. You know what I mean? They would be absolutely gutted that they're lining up before every game away at a team like Leeds, who arguably aren't as good as them on paper. And actually to hear that you're going to go there and play out for a draw. Imagine travelling to an away game. Imagine me going to Palace this weekend and just knowing that we're going to go try and play for a draw. And hearing that come from the manager at the end, how would you fucking feel? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know whether it's something. I mean, I don't watch Villa week in, week out. You know, I barely watch them on Match of Day whenever they feature. But you know, I can't honestly say that they play like that every week. I wouldn't imagine that they do. But I don't know whether it's a kind of a hidden sort of compliment that, you know, a team comes and has to play that way against us. You know, we've seen it three times now: Everton, Wolves, and now Villa. They've come. They tried to disrupt the match. They tried to disrupt the flow of the game. They tried to stop us doing what we're good at, that pressing and that continuous flow of football. So I wouldn't imagine that they play like that every week, but, you know, fucking hell. It's anti-football, isn't it?
It's horrible to watch.
We've had three home games where teams have done that. Sorry.
Sorry. No, you're crying.
He said Gilly, not Gail Platty.
Come on, Gailey.
No, like I was just saying, we've had three teams come to Elland Road this season and play exactly the same way, and absolutely nothing has been done about it from, you know, an authority perspective, because it's bullshit. But anyway, sorry.
No, it's fine, mate. No, it's fine. Gilly, give us your thoughts against Villa, mate. Anything else to add?
Try and put a bit of a positive spin on it, I guess. They've said all the things that I would have said from a negative context and standpoint. We're unbeaten. We've got 9 points from 7 games, unbeaten at home. The one side that came and tried to play against us, we absolutely bashed them, and it was Chelsea, and it was lovely. So it's not all bad, is what I'd say. There's been conversations around the defence and what we're going to do about it. Clean sheet. Clean sheet against the side that's got a player in it that was, what, 127 million when he signed for Barca not so long since?
170,
wasn't it? Whatever it was, an inordinate sum of money, plus a lot of other investment into that side. And yeah, they hit the post. There were a couple of other chances, but I think Rodrigo's chance in the first half was pretty much as good as, I mean, I were on my feet celebrating. I thought it had gone in. Yeah. Just about as good as theirs when they hit the post. You look at the stats. The stats look like they were the only team in it. But in the first half, I thought the only real team that looked like they were going to go on and win it from half time were going to be us. I thought we had the ascendancy in the first half. I thought they were a better side. So yeah, it's shit. Yeah, we've played Atwell Villa, and you know it's an horrible, horrible spectacle. But at the same time, things could be a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not wholly positive, but you know, there's some good.
Given the circumstances,
48 minutes, you'd have snapped their hands off, wouldn't you, for a point? After 48 minutes, when Sinisterra gets sent off, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then you look at the chances we had, and you're kind of kicking yourself as well.
I know, mate. I watched it back.
Have you seen Rodrigo's chance?
Yeah,
man, he just literally just curled out.
Hazard's weren't a bad chance towards the end.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, it was good, but
they play good football, don't they?
But like, I was just at least, like, go on.
No, you go. You're fine.
I don't think we played awfully well, but I think a lot of our build-up play was far better than it has been recently. We seem to be using the wings a lot more than we were in other games. Like, there was a couple of balls put in. I think was it. Strike that put one in for Rodrigo where he just kind of missed it at the front post, and There was, you know, there was a couple of, you know, good efforts, you know, and there was another ball put in right across the 6 yard box. But I said if Ayling was on, I reckon he'd have been on the end of that rather than where Christiansen was. I think Ayling would have been kind of more further forward, and that's not having a pop at Christiansen. But that would just something I observed.
I thought he played pretty well actually. Christiansen,
he did. He had one of his bad games.
I didn't think he had a bad game at all.
I'm not saying that he had a bad game. I'm just saying.
No. I know what you mean. Yeah, you're just in it at lead. Christiansen there.
I tell you what, though, how good was it to have fucking Cooper back in that side? How different did we look with him there?
Yeah. Although a lot of people would argue against, probably Jay, saying that, it didn't. But you can just tell the difference. At the end of the day, the last game that we played, we lost 5-2 against Brentford, and we
And he's not the best. He's not the best defender in the fucking world. He's never going to be the best defender in the world. But it's just bringing we've all played the sport, haven't we? We've all had a game of football or rugby or whatever. Just having that person beside you who does the hard work and he's not afraid to get stuck in. And he's got that captain's armband on. Just that person coming into the team just brings so much. People don't appreciate how much that actually does bring to a team. Yeah. You look at some of the good captains over the years, and they haven't been great players. You know, look at teams like Stoke, who had Robert Huth for ages, and they did quite well under him, you know, because he was a good leader. And it'd take him about fucking 6 weeks to run 100 meters.
I mean, he gets stuck in, and he's a good player. He's a good player, Cooper, and like you say, he's got that calming influence. You don't have Cock and Llorente running around like fucking endless dickheads. You know, you've got that voice at the back, like you said. Just
Cock looked better as well.
Yeah, he did.
Calmness, though, isn't it? It's calmness and it's game management. Exactly, and I don't mean game management as in that negative bullshit from Wolves, Everton, Villa. I mean managing the players around you and knowing when to push people on, when to drop off. It's the game management Kevin Sinfield used to do for Rhinos. It's that knowing what to do at any given point and knowing when to give somebody a kick up the arse and knowing when to calm it down. That's a big deal.
Absolutely. Take the sting out of the game, control the pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all in all, I think we're all relatively happy, aren't we? Given the outcome, and
I'm not sure about that.
I think at half time,
it could have been a hell of a lot frigging worse, couldn't it? Let's be honest.
I think at half time, I thought we'd probably win at half time until the start of the second half. When Sinisterra gets sent off. Sinisterra looked really dangerous.
Yeah, he looked class, didn't he?
Couple they of, couldn't get ball off him.
He twists and turns out of trouble, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he was very tricky and he had them on the back.
Horrible to play against, man. Imagine having to try and defend against somebody like him or Raf. You know, they're just fucking horrible to defend against those types of players, like, you know what I mean?
I would have liked to see him attack Young more.
Yeah. But the other thing is, like, he hasn't had a lot of first team minutes either when you look at it. You know, he's had the game in the cup and he started one game. He hasn't played a full 90 minutes either, so we've not seen probably him at his peak, at his best at the moment. Do you know what I mean?
That's Chicken Royale. Whoppers,
do you want to add a little bit of context before we get to
He's not calling his daughter a Whopper.
So Burger King said anybody who's got their kid called Whopper gets free food or something. So I got to convince my youngest daughter to pretend the name were Whopper in a video and sent it to him and had a bit of interaction last
proper
night.
Proper shit house, didn't they?
Yeah, they asked for the birth certificate. I basically put, anybody who knows me, friend, has done for a set amount of time, just confirm Whopper's name for me below. And everyone's putting, little Whopper, I haven't seen her for years. I've seen her for 5 years and all this. Good, I'm just waiting for Burger King's response of words. I'm going to sue him.
Yeah, you do right, mate. You do right. Right then, I think we're going to move on to the poll. I don't know if you're ready with your little video, Gilly.
Twitter poll results.
And this week, I'm going to hand it over to the very capable Luke.
Thank you ever so much. I completely forgot I was doing it.
Scrambling to find out what's won on his phone.
Yeah, so every week we ask the listeners to choose a main subject for the main pod every week, and I've just said the same in reverse.
Every week.
So this week it was from the following.
How
was
often
this
is
week.
It?
time wasting, stick to our guns, or change tactics? Who's the most exciting academy player? Does Paddy start against Palace? And what is Rod's favourite position? Our best position, sorry, not his favourite. His favourite. And the winner this week with an astounding 45% was the first one. Time wasting. Should we stick to our guns? Now, we've covered a bit of this already, haven't we? Fucking freedom rise, we call it. We've covered a bit of this in what we've said about Villa, I think. But I'm going to go to you, Carl, and I'm just going to ask you your thoughts. Do we need to change, start winning games? Do we need to start shithousing teams and playing boring football? Or do we love... I mean, as fans, we obviously know what we love to see, but what do we need to do?
I think we shithouse enough. There was a couple of tackles and a bit of ruckus click could have easily got two bookings for in the 15-minute spell that he was on. So I think the shithousing part of it isn't something that we need to work on at all. I think we just need to concentrate on putting the ball in the back of the net whenever we get the opportunities and fuck everything else around us. But that's our issue. We don't, when Bamford isn't on the pitch, we don't have someone that looks like they're going to score on a regular basis. And I think I think we should shithouse a little bit more. Like Melier was getting the hang of it towards when Sinisterra got sent off. People were telling him to fucking slow down. And then he was telling the ball boy not to throw the ball back so quickly. And
yeah, he was. You know,
and then he was
going, no ball.
Give the right ball thing, didn't he? He's like, yeah, slow it down.
And then he was going the other side of the 6-yard box to take the free.
That was the biggest cheer of the day, wasn't it? It was like we scored.
Watkins that went over and put ball on one side, so he went up and picked it up.
Brilliant. The shithousing we don't seem to have a problem with. That kind of seems to kick in quite naturally. So I think all we should really concentrate on, personally, is not getting involved with the ref. We seem to be doing it a little bit more lately. I think just let Cooper go to the ref. The players out of it, and then he's going to ref.
Does that stem, do you think, from the what they get from Jesse Marsh? Obviously, Jesse Marsh got sent off against Brentford. I don't think it's a bad thing. I like the aggression. I think it's needed. Mm. I think it shows passion. I love it. So I have nothing against it. I don't think he should have been sent off, Jesse Marsh. And I also don't think Sinisterra really should have been after that first one. But do you think the players and the style, and like you said, that we're sort of pushing it sometimes, and we are playing probably arguably a lot more aggressive than we did under Bielsa. Do you think that's come from Marsh then? Or do you think it's just the players we've got?
I think it has come from Marsh in a certain sense. He's made it very clear what he likes to get from his teams. And I think if you're not putting what he wants on the pitch, he's not going to play you. Like, so you're going to have that aggression and whatnot. But I just think when I was talking about the ref and not, you know, I'm all for the aggression. I'm all for getting in players' faces and everything like that. But when it comes to surrounding the ref, let the other team do that. Let them talk shit to him and then just send Cooper in to maybe have our say on it and let the players just stay away from it. But when it comes to player thing,
absolutely get on to them. If they're that fucking shit, give them what for?
That's very true. Like, but at the same time, you're taken away from the fact that you're trying to concentrate and scoring when that seems to be our biggest issue. And I think getting involved with the ref, for me, it's pointless because he's already made his mind up no matter what. He's blown the whistle. You're not going to change his mind. Like,
when the ref gave the red card against Sinisterra, though, you saw the whole Villa players around him, and he put his. I think he must have even forgotten that he'd given him
because he
kind of gave him a yellow, then kind of backed off. Then they were all bleaching at him. They went, "Oh, fuck yeah, red card."
But that's not down to the players. So you can't tell me
that it's not influenced by. I mean, obviously he made a mistake, but we've seen it time and time again. Other teams will come around and surround a referee. And give them what for, and it's down to, I suppose, the personality of the referee or whatever. But you can't tell me that they're not influenced at all by that.
I'm not saying that they're not, but I just think on Atwell's behalf on Saturday, that was sheer incompetence and not being good at your job. That had nothing to do with the Villa players. If he was, you know, if he was on the ball and he noticed that, then he'd have known straight away.
There's a rumor going round, isn't there, that all his family are Villa fans, and he's a big scum fan.
What
I saw is that he's a Luton fan, but his family are all Villa fans, which I didn't really get. I kind of get where you're coming from, Carl, but still, if the ref's being a shithouse, tell him he's being a shithouse.
Yeah, but you know, like,
shouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, well, just let Cooper do it. Just let Cooper go up and go, look, you're a shithouse today, man. And, like, you know.
I've been sent off by more refs for stuff like that, me and my career in rugby and football, I swear. Refs do my head in, man. Honestly, I fucking hate refs. They're just like shit failed footballers who got picked last. That's what they are.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
I mean, there is a balance to that in that we really don't have a game.
I don't mean
one.
All refs. If anybody's watching this and is a referee, like, don't. I didn't mean it personally. We're personal,
okay? Yeah? It is, referees.
And you know, we do have a very nice ref that's joined us on a podcast.
Yeah, of course. No, some of them love me for my aggression.
Luke only did it a couple of times.
Yeah.
She sacked him off.
Some refs absolutely love you for it, don't they? For being like a bit of a dick and like gobby and getting stuck in and that. But most refs fucking hate it. And when they're shit as well.
It's character, though, isn't it? If you find a ref with character, you can get away with all of that mouthing and stuff. Because they know that he's not
serious
anyway.
And have a bit of a laugh
anyway.
And give him a wink on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But the issue with that, though, is, Gilly, that'll work Sunday league, but when there's millions of people watching you on the TV, it's not going to fly. Like, you know what I mean? You're going to get fine, but you're going to get...
We only get shit refs, and we need to tell them about it.
I
think, for my opinion is, if a player boils over because the ref's being shit, I've got no issue in telling the ref that he's being shit.
Yeah.
No, but is it worth that? I can see where Carl's coming from. Is it worth the red yellow card or the red card? Do you know what I mean? Now Sinisterra misses the next game. Do you know what I mean?
He does, but not because of any shit that he gave ref.
No. John, but what I'm saying is, if you were to get a silly booking for something like that, or even worse, a red like Jesse Marsh did, he wasn't in the stands. I mean, it's not so much important with Jesse, but if a player was to get, I completely get where Carl's coming from, but I'm all about your style, me. Fucking tell him, getting told.
but players don't get told, though. It's like the Villa fans were constantly, McGinn would constantly in at Wells here all game.
He's an
just
horrible
chomping at him all the time.
He's got the weirdest shaped head I've ever seen.
He's a proper ugly bastard. But if a referee's not going to brandish a card or tell him, look, fuck off, let me referee this game. If you do it again, I'm going to send you off, or blah, blah, blah. Do they exist? Do those referees exist? Who knows? You're well within your rights to go and scream and kick off and call the referee a prick.
Yeah, absolutely.
They do exist. Absolutely. They're just in rugby.
Very rare.
In a proper sport, yeah.
even in rugby, in rugby league, they're still shite as well, to be fair. The video refs
are much better than football refs, aren't they?
They command more respect and they manage a game. So, you know, they manage the players and they don't have any shit coming back to them. That's all I meant.
No, they don't, but they're not. They're still wankers.
Yeah. The majority of them, the question for the poll, though, is how do we manage that sort of game, though, from a Leeds perspective? You know, should we encounter any more teams? You know, there's plenty to come. Now, obviously, his next home game's against Arsenal.
Gung-ho, do you think?
Well, I don't know, because I think it depends now what sort of team we're playing, because obviously Arsenal aren't going to come to Elland Road and play that sort of shithousing game. They're going to want to put us to the sword and are going to want to play football. But whereas you might get a Palace at home or a Bournemouth or, you know, them sort of teams may sort of adopt them sort of tactics and come to Elland Road and try and do the same. So at that point, where do we go? Right, we need to change tact, because what we are doing isn't right. We get pissed off. We're going, potentially players going to get sent off. Fucking if Jesse Marsh had been on side of pitch on Sunday, God knows what would happen there.
Yeah.
God knows.
Who was on the side? You know, was it Gakko?
No, it was the other fella.
Oh, the guy from Borussia Dortmund. What's his name?
I was up in fucking East Stand. Yeah. I couldn't see a thing.
You're getting nosebleeds up there, were you?
Yeah.
That's snow in his head. But I think somehow we need to change tact. And I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Inside Elland Road training and in the interview. I'm a lot tonight. I apologise. Jesse Marsh has come out and said that they've...
No, it'll be Maric, won't it?
Yeah,
that's him. Marsh came out and said that they're practicing going down to 10 men sort of stuff. So if they're practicing all them sort of likely outcomes, then why aren't we now starting to look at, right, we're going to get shithoused in all these fucking games at home. Teams are going to come to Elland Road and try and shithouse a win or shithouse a point. We need to change tact and we need to change our way of addressing them sort of situations to benefit us rather than to benefit that team.
I think we've got to give a few more away games. I think we've got to, I think we're going to have a few at home. Absolutely not. We all want to see. We want to see 33,000 home fans watching exciting football. Nobody wants to go watch fucking bored. You know, teams playing for. You know, slowing the pace down and that. I mean, second half we did because we'd gone down to 10. If we were at 11 men and we were playing like that, would we have been cheering? Absolutely not.
I don't think so. I don't think we'd have been happy with a draw against 11 Villa players, and that's why
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wigan, ringing any bells?
Yeah. well, like to change where you know we're at and how to get around that. I think. Like, I know it sounds a bit wishy-washy or whatever, like, but I think staying out of the ref's face in scenarios like that, it's like Jesse gets the opportunity to have a talk at him going down the tunnel at half-time. Say to him...
But you're not going to win a game like that, though, Carl. You're not going to win a game by giving the referees his space and his distance and letting all the other team's players surround him and fucking, you know, give him a quick...
But at the end of the day...
Look at all of the sides that have had success in English football in recent times, and you look at what the Scum did, you look at what Chelsea did, you look at what Liverpool do. They dominate refs and they don't let them get away with shit.
But that doesn't work for us. You're forgetting the main.
It's not right.
So we just step up and let them be shit and never say out.
But the FA hate us. Well, it's not going to get us anywhere. We're pissing into the wind and getting our shoes wet. And someone beside me is telling me that.
So the players want them to wear their frustrations, and we've got to tell them not to, even though it's not going to benefit us either way. I'm not with you at all.
But if we're not getting anything out of it either way, what's the fucking point in putting us on the
fire? I can see both your points of view.
I'm not saying yours is wrong or anything like that. I'm just saying my point is that we need to do that rather than fucking piss the ref off. Because what are you going to do? Like if it's not getting us anywhere? What's the fucking
It's almost like head and heart. Like, Carl, you don't want to get pick up bookings, and you're not going to, you know what I mean? You don't want to be getting...
Carl's the Bielsa of the group. He wants to do things properly and do things by the book. And that's admirable. It is. And I agree. That's how it should be done. But at the end of the day, you know, there's got to be two dogs in the fight. And if you're letting the opposition turn around the referees and let them, you know, say what they want, and you're not having a representative there in front of the ref saying, hold on a minute, that's fucking wrong.
Yeah, I get that. But I also think that if we do enough shithousing throughout the 90 minutes without having the ref involved in any of it, then I think that's psychologically way more fucking influential on our team and the crowd than surrounding the ref and giving them shit when it's going to get us nowhere anyway. But that's like, I'm not saying anyone's opinion is wrong or anything. I just think that's how...
No.
You know.
So just to go back to the poll...
anyway, back to the poll. The speed
test. We're discussing how we get around it.
I did try. The poll's not my bit this week, and I did try getting us back. How do we beat teams like that? Fuck the ref. Can't influence the ref. Right, we'll leave that bit for now.
Carl's just given his question and answer about 16 times over.
So, in answer to that question, I think the approach of trying to be direct plays into the hands of teams that are wanting to do that. Because in trying to be direct, trying to get the ball forward quickly, if we're playing a team that's wanting to play against us, then we end up with a Chelsea. If we're playing against a team that's wanting to just kill the game and we're presenting possession to them because we're playing those percentage passes into an area that we're going to try and then press, but all they're going to do is kick it long, all they're going to do is kick it out, they're just going to play, you know, dive on the floor like Villa did, like Wolves did, like Everton did, just spoil the tactics completely, then that direct form of football plays into their hands. They know that all they've got to do is nick the ball off us, and then there's another 5 minutes gone of the game, and all they're doing is chunking the game up, spoiling, slowing it down, stopping us building ahead of steam. If we get a goal or two in front, you see an entirely different game. But playing that attacking direct football that Marsh likes his teams to play, I'm not certain that works against those sides that are going to play spoiler tactics against us. And that's why you end up with a Chelsea that is so completely different to the performances that we've had against the other sides at home. Because it's the one outlier. You look at the other sides that I just mentioned, the games are chalk and cheese. They're incomparable. And that's why, because we're able to get the ball quick into feet,
good management?
Move it forward.
I know it's shit management, but is it good management for the opposition team? They know that they're going to come there
Yeah.
Take a point. Yeah, and it is horrible to watch.
No, that's their best chance of getting anything out of that game, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So you look at
fucking death.
Yeah. But you look at your Pulisses, you look at your Allardyces, and you look at the managers that have built careers on shit football. 4-4 fucking two, dice ball. And you've got managers that haven't spent a lot of money that have built careers on spoiling games. And that's what everybody looks at. They come to Leeds, they know they're in. Yeah, they're going to get rolled over if they try and match us up for athleticism. Because you look at your Man Cities and so on, they're going to come and they're going to try and beat us with class.
Let's
face it, they're going to hammer us. but you look at anybody from eighth in the league down, they're looking at us going, fucking hell, if we try and go toe-to-toe with them, they're just going to run rings around us. So they spoil it instead.
Do you think this is a continuation of Bielsa's fitness and drills and stuff? Do you think that's why we're still so energetic? And I know we've got after squad's new, but Jesse Marsh said when he was coming, he's very similar to his styles in a way, in terms of the press.
The anti-press is similar, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I really like Jesse Marsh. He's really won me over, and I think the style of football that we're playing has been a good continuation. We haven't seen the penis formation, you know, very rarely. We haven't needed to see it. He's stuck to the wide. Yeah. Our best football's played when we play with the four, the two pivots, and then three behind a one. He hasn't needed to go to the penis formation at all, because I think that limits us. So yeah, it's fucking draining watching teams come in to spoil.
And just on that,
see an open game.
Yeah, just on that. So Bremner's ghost asked, how much time did they waste? Exactly, seemed like a good 30 minutes. The average the ball has been in play this season across all games is 55 minutes.
In play.
65 at City, and I think every City game's a little bit average dire.
55 minutes.
Villa's a 50 minutes average Villa.
It's horrendous. I mean, it's ruining what is the sport we all love. It's not a spectator sport anymore. If all you're doing is watching somebody going and picking a ball up and then arsing about with it for 5 minutes, that's not what we love, is it?
Yeah.
It's shocking, isn't it, really? No one wants to see that.
But
teams don't give a shit anymore, do they?
So maybe it's not
for half your money back for a ticket.
They'll sell the souls, they'll sell the grannies to get a win or to get a point. They'll do it. It doesn't matter how they'll do it. You know, you had such a pure soul in Bielsa who wanted to play football as it should be, you know. And then you get fucking absolute pumpholes like Gerrard and his shitty fucking mate Bruno Lage, who was absolutely jobless, by the way. Fuck you. You know, they come to Elland Road and try and shithouse it. I mean, it didn't do Wolves any good. You know, it didn't do Everton any good, and it certainly didn't do Villa any good. I mean, Villa had the best opportunities out of all of them because we were down to chuffing 10 men. But at what point do you draw the line, like, you know? But I don't think it's going to be the last time that we see that sort of stuff here. You know,
so what do you do then to...
I don't think it changes anything.
That's what we've just been asking, Carl.
It's a style. What do we do? It's not going to change fuck all.
Yeah, but that's not the question you were answering.
I answered a few questions.
Cheers for coming, Carl.
Not all relevant, like, but I did answer a few.
Loves to talk about.
What's going on about chasing referee, Rob?
Yeah, but you were at the thing is, we asked what the poll one was like. It's like, what the fuck do we do to change how we're fucking going about things? And it was like, one, we could stay away from the prick and do ourselves a favor by not getting wound up by him because he's playing.
I know,
shit.
You told us, Carl.
There you go.
You're telling us again.
I'm not going to tell you again. You're just making out that I didn't fucking answer any of the question, you dicks. Anyway, carry on.
But yeah, no. Yeah, let's take it. Let's put it to a quick vote. Who thinks we should change to try and pick up a shitty point away games, or do you want to just carry on how we are and try winning games?
I think it's different if you're away. If you're away, you'll do well. You're not playing in front of your own fans. You don't give a shit about impressing fucking away fans, do you? It's different if you're away. You wouldn't want to do it at home. And I guarantee Villa don't play like that at home.
But it also depends on who you're playing against, doesn't it? If we go to Arsenal, who try to play football, we go to Anfield, we go to Man City Stadium.
We'll still play the same style, though. We won't set up.
We will do, yeah.
If we went and tried to change that tactics and we tried to play a bit closer, narrow the field, try and play through the centre, try and be compact, not get beat and maybe pox a win against those teams, then you'd take that. I don't expect us to do it, but what I'm saying is if that was the outcome of that, you'd kind of take that. Now,
Villa narrow formation does fuck all. It's been proven it's shy.
I don't mean the penis formation. I just mean narrowing it so that they don't have so much width. It's playing in such a way that they're not going to dominate you on the wings and so on. Villa fans looking at that thinking, fucking, we're doing that with Leeds. We want to be better than them.
Exactly. You
know, we're talking about doing that with Champions League.
That's what I said. It's
a massive compliment.
Yeah.
And we can throw it around everywhere, you know, fucking Twitter, fucking in person, because teams don't want to come to Elland Road. They dread it.
Yeah.
The thing is, when you're doing stuff like that,
we've got to give them all sorts of shit, haven't we?
Yeah.
if you've got a team that comes to Elland Road and does that sort and plays that way, it kills crowd because quiet, you know, it did go a little bit quiet when it started. They were blowing every 5 fucking minutes and it sucked the life out of the crowd. You know, so as far as that as they're concerned, you know, Gerard, that's a ticking box. You killed the crowd off. We're going to bore these fuckers to death. You know, so we haven't got that to deal with. And then we're going to start picking these pricks off because they're going to start, you know, lumping it around and, you know, it worked, didn't it? It tried to do a job on us, and it nearly worked.
It was frustrating.
And that's what we've got to stop. We've got to stop it somehow. Jason Marsh has got to come up with a better.
I think
tactic,
it did work.
Better ideas.
I know you say nearly worked. I think it did work. I think if you offer Gerrard,
they didn't get a win, did it?
Game. Yeah, but they snap your hand off for a point before the game.
Yeah, but I'm saying it'd have been mission accomplished if they'd have come and bagged 3 points. So it nearly worked, but it didn't work.
They should have taken 3 points after 48 minutes, shouldn't they?
Have we lost Gilly?
He's just bewildering us to watch a point.
He froze them. But I think we've kind of covered this. We kind of not. I don't think
there's no right answer, agree. Is there?
There isn't. No, there, it's right down, to, it's no. down to win. Somehow it's got to change potentially to face teams like that. But fuck knows, we're not, you know, master tacticians or not like that. We don't know. We don't get paid to play football. No. So frig knows. Should we go to a little ad from our sponsors?
Oh, shit.
And then we'll go into...
CBD are a family company with a local shop feel and exist to continue to promote the obvious and immediate benefits of CBD products while keeping the cost to you, the consumer, as low as possible. You'll find multiple flavours available on our site, answers to frequently asked questions and suggestions on what is right for you, as well as a web form for you to get in touch. There's free delivery on orders over £50. And don't forget to use the Auto Know Better discount code of OKB10 for 10% discount of all products. Lastly, a portion of all profits will be donated to mental health charities.
How many orders have you actually had through OKB?
None.
The sponsor.
No. I don't know, mate. I'll have to have a look. Not millions, but everyone. It's not about that. I'm just happy for everybody who does support it, even with retweets and likes and that. It's getting there, mate. It's steady away. Just had a cafe and put an order in last week, and I think it's a crazy cafe, and they do like high teas and herbal teas and that, and they've started using my products now. So yeah, it's getting there, mate. Thank you.
Good. Well, if you are in for CBD, get yourself over there. It's some quality stuff.
some
proper good stuff. some rate gear. Anyway, chaps, this weekend we are on our way down south. To a specific little city.
But in London. That's the fucking difference.
Bingo, there he is.
Right on time.
Vieira's Palace.
Giving it up.
Hoping that, well, I don't know. I've got things to say about it, but I'm going to come to you straight away, Gail. his name went out of my head for a reason. I'm sorry, Gail.
It seemed like you wanted to say Gilly there, but it just, I don't know.
Is that going to you then, Gail?
Gail. How do you think we're going to perform? What sort of formation, what sort of team? Does Patrick Bamford start? Who knows? What do you think?
I'd like to think that we should start Patrick Bamford and give him maybe 70 minutes, 75 minutes, if he can last that long. I think so, man. I think with 11 men on the pitch on Saturday. With them on the pitch on Saturday, he looked in good shape, and we looked more, as you know, assertive going forward. We were able to play the ball forward to have someone to hold it up and stuff. Don't like that. So he's losing the shit. He's watching something there in the background or something.
He's gone. No, nothing at you.
What the fuck? 70 minutes? What the fuck?
Not going away, that.
We need to clip it. We need to go back and clip it.
I think he has done it already. I'd like to see him start genuinely just to give us the kind of best footing going forward, just from the get-go for a change.
Are you dropping Rodrigo then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we don't have Sinisterra, so why would you drop Rodrigo?
Oh, we don't have Sinisterra. That's true. Yeah, excuse me. Rodrigo in behind Bamford then, and Aronson kind of playing out wide.
To be fair, Aronson started the season outright really well. So I won't be worried about seeing him out there. He played properly well first couple
of games. The other
thing
as well, I think he got fairly kicked about the place there on Saturday because he seemed to come in a lot more central throughout the first half, and then he wasn't able to use the wings properly in the second half. But
no, he played on the wing. We played without a centre attacking midfielder
in the second half.
In the second half, we played 4-2-2-1.
Yeah,
but whichever side, if you watched, whichever side had the ball. The left, they say that the ball was in their left back, and then they sort of moved over, and Harrison moved into the 10, and we still had a right winger. And then on the opposite side, Harrison moved back out to the wing, and Aronson moved back into the 10. So those two got through some. I'd love to see the fucking yardage them two ran at the weekend.
Yeah,
that's what I was kind of saying, was that he didn't get to take advantage of playing on the right wing in the second half.
No, absolutely.
So it'd be nice to see him against the Palace team where he's got the likes of Bamford to even play off, like, because Bamford's he holds the ball up, he gets the odd flick here and there, and Aronson's that kind of pacey player who likes to play in off the striker if he gets a chance in that position. So that's why I'd like to see Bamford start. I think he's just more of a target man than Rodrigo. We seem to be far more direct when Rodrigo is playing than we do when Bamford's playing.
And he hassles defences, doesn't he, Bamford? He makes a nuisance of himself and pulls
around. He's a bigger lad, isn't he? He's a bit of a bully. He's a big centre forward, you know. He's exactly that, isn't he? Like,
deceptively quick as well, isn't he? I think if we saw, I think he would, even with Dan James at the side when they were doing the when we were looking at the speeds, he was the fastest in the side on match day in a match.
He did mention that
on laptop speed or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did mention that on the Leeds United podcast. To be fair,
has Dan James played for Fulham yet?
Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah.
How's he getting on? Anyone know? I've not really noticed anything.
I don't know, but I know of one Fulham fan at least that's come out and said that he thinks that he's got a new player to hate in Dan James.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did hear that as well. Yeah.
Apparently so.
Right.
So, which is positive, obviously.
Yeah, clearly.
Clearly, we've got something in common with the Fulham fans now. Not everyone.
Granted, I like Dan James.
Me too.
I liked him. Not the best on the ball. Kind of a Harry Sacco-esque, you know, with his output or whatever. But yeah, I liked him. I liked him. I thought he was aggressive.
How many games do you reckon he actually played for us on the wing that we signed him for?
Oh, three. Hardly any.
Yeah. Hardly any, I'd say.
He didn't really get a chance. I felt for him, however it happened. But yeah, I felt for him a little bit because he clearly loves it here. He wanted to come here first time round and everything. You know, he's had a rough few years, hasn't he? I think in terms of sort of his direction and where he wants to be and what he wants to be doing. And I just felt, I still think it was a weird option to loan him out now. I just can't see the benefit in it unless there's a large option to buy or whatever it is.
I think the debacle with you know, him not signing the first time. I think that had a massive effect on his development because, you know, he was a different type of player before he went to Scum, and then he leaves Scum and he's not the same. He wasn't the same type of player when he came from Scum. Like,
no.
I think that if he had come to us at the time when he was meant to, I think his development would have skyrocketed him far
Solskjaer got his claws into him.
Oh, 2 years of that.
World class manager.
Yeah. It's like, nah, lads.
It's snapped up ever since, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm liking the whole Adams and Rocker partnership as well in middle. Them two are pretty solid. They don't get
it. You pointed out to me actually at weekend how much we missed Rocker as soon as he went off. And we really did. And I think their partnership is really positive. I think if we lose either of them, so you know we were saying before about, all right, Calvin's moved on, but we've got Adams and we've got Rocker. We need them both. Especially with Biscuit and Cole's Forshaw being back up to that. So who's unavailable again for Palace, as I understand it.
Is it 50-odd games in 5 years he's played or something like that?
Yeah, maybe.
Who's that?
For sure. So, you know, he'd be the closest we've got to a replacement for Adams. I know he's not going to get around the pitch and break, but he's probably the closest we've got. And Click will probably be the closest we've got to Tucker. We need them both. So, yeah, I don't know. But it is a good partnership.
Tyler Adams.
Yeah, it is a good partnership.
I could just fucking watch him all day.
He's everywhere. You know. And Rocker did lose ball a few times, but you can see what he's trying to do. He's trying to, you know, that ball recovery. He's trying to progress that play. And when you're literally swamped with players in middle, as that's what they were doing, they were literally just crowding middle out.
Yeah.
And then shithousing it, falling over each other and throwing themselves on the floor and all that sort of stuff. But you can see what they were trying to do. And it didn't happen on Sunday, but against, you know, teams like Chelsea and other teams that play a little bit more open and stuff like that, he's so effective in what he does, especially with Bamford. Yeah.
Someone's getting their cherry pops tonight, lads.
Oh, can you give a shout out to Bill, 84-year-old Gentan looking after tonight? Proud Yorkshireman, lifelong Leeds fan, and OKB virgin. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Bill.
I hope, Bill.
I hope you're well. I hope Emilou's looking after you well. Not too well. I'm sorry.
You dirty old bastard. Not you, Bill. Smart.
Dirty fecker. A dirty fecker. Only tea bags I've been playing with. Anyway, so predictions then for the Palace game. Hopefully a little bit more positive. However, it is a bit of an hard place to go to when it's Selhurst Park. We don't seem to do too well.
Auto no better predictions.
I can't find the gap, but you kept starting again.
I know.
We've got to be the most unprofessional fucking type of...
We're just a bunch of idiots, aren't we?
We just do what
that's,
we
that's
want,
what happens.
We?
I think, really, going forward, Osh should press the buttons. Probably. It might, you know. We live and learn, don't we?
None of us can fucking multitask, so we'll be fucking waiting for half an hour anyway.
What are you eating again this week, man?
M&M peanuts, mate. I've got a full fucking bag.
Honestly.
I'm on my last honestly. Ball.
Gillett, predictions, over to you, my friend.
We're on it. So, come round.
Sorry, Bill. Bill won't be coming back.
I'll go around in the order I've written the names down. So, Luke, Palace at the weekend. What do we think?
Yeah, mate, I'll meet you there. Oh, what's
are you
score?
Okay? Do you need to
please.
Reset yourself?
We're doing predictions now, Luke.
Right, George.
I'm going to go 2-1 to lead.
Okay, thank you very much, Carl.
2-2.
Esmond.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh Christ, that went wrong. I'm going to go 2-1 Leeds.
2-0.
2-1.
2-1. 2-1.
Yeah.
I've gone 2-1 Leeds. Who was first in the fans? Because I can see a couple of comments, but I've not switched across to it yet.
I don't think we got? Have we?
Alisson going 2-1 to them. 2-1.
Oh. Oh. Alisson.
Alisson.
Long time friend of the pod. What the fuck is that?
She always goes for bad. A proper negative result, Alison.
Bloody bad, Alison.
I wonder if it's like a bit of reverse psychology. Is that what it is?
I think it might be, you know. Yeah, yeah.
She's saved it in there, so disappointed.
I guess the good news is, not good for him, but in terms of picture at the weekend, Nathaniel Clyne got stretchered off at the weekend against Chelsea.
I love that.
Looks like he might be out for a few weeks. Villa at the weekend didn't have any defenders to play other than Tyrod Mings. And we didn't really take advantage of that. So, you know.
Yeah, that's so true. But like, they don't have Conor Gallagher, so that's okay. We've already beat the team he was in. So,
didn't he score a pearl against him as well?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, he didn't celebrate either.
But like Calvin Phillips, when he comes on for 5 minutes versus us against City, he'll put come on and penguin in or something like that.
You've just killed Gilly's mood there, Smarty, man. He was in great. He had a big smile on his fucking face there, and then you said that just went.
He'll still be injured by then anyway. We don't have all to worry about.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll have already bagged two hat tricks, Will Ireland.
They've only scored
three at home.
Oh, they've scored a few. They've only got 6 points, Palace. They've only won one all season, and they've drawn
the game in hand as well. Are they seven?
Yeah, we've both played seven. Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah. So but, I think it's not a nice place to go. It's fucking deep down fucking London. It's not.
Don't convince yourself, lads. We aren't. I've gone 2-1 us, but I can't see us getting out.
Yeah, I've said same. We're probably lose. We're probably not going to lose, but you know, it is what it is. You know.
So now we've given our predictions. What do we actually think is going to happen?
I think that they'll want to play football against us. I think they'll try and play football against us, and that might work in our favour, which is why I've gone 2-1. If it does work in our favour, we'll be all right. But it is Alison said in the comments, it is a hard place to go. And they do, you know, our last four matches, their last four, they've lost two, drawn two. We've lost two, drawn two. So we're not going to see a brilliant game. I hope now that I've said that, it's amazing and you can all laugh at me because then at least we've got a good game.
I think you're wrong. I think we'll see a good game of football.
Palace are arguably one of the best football sides in the league, are they? You know, they are right up there. They're not always that convincing. You know, if they had...
They try and play, don't they? They do play
some really nice stuff. But like you said, that might work in our favour. But if we don't take our chances, which, you know...
That could happen.
Their best player has built a career on being a diver.
Yeah.
It's just the thing as well. Like, you've got Salah.
Oh, they'll get a lot as well down there.
Like, who the fuck is going to be refereeing this game? Like, you know,
I'm going to try and find out for you now.
I think it has been announced
earlier that I can't find.
Yeah, it was.
It's probably a Palace fan. His dad's a Palace fan, or something.
Well, he was conceived in the shadows.
He supports Oxford, but his entire family are Palace fans.
Yeah.
Keep pet eagles in the back garden and that.
Yeah, yeah.
Spray paint and fucking purple, whatever, red and blue.
Right, so I'll get everybody else's predictions from groups and the various odds and. Of the pod and whatever else, so we'll sort that out. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to share them before the game for the next one, we'll make a bit more of a deal of it because everybody's been asking me where am I at league, and I've been a bit shit with it. So I'll be sharing it in advance so that people can see the predictions, get involved, and whatever else.
Good man. A few of us are reconvening tomorrow, as some of you know. We've got Brian McDermott coming to talk to me, Gilly and Luke tomorrow. So if you are planning on coming and watching, that's going to be a live podcast as well. At the bottom of your little screen there, you'll see a little Gmail account. If you've got any questions that you want to get to Brian, we're going to pick a few out from the fans and from the listeners and all that sort of stuff. So get them fired in.
Just a quick straw poll of people watching as well. So bearing in mind my hairstyle, Luke's hairstyle and Brian's hairstyle, I think that we should petition for Smarty to join us for tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I'm I'll put a shower cap on or something.
I'm really glad I'm not in on this one.
You look like a surfboard.
That's got to be going around. Just point lights away from me, lads. That's all I'd say, all right? Just point lights away.
Where do you think that one's wearing hats?
Yeah.
I've created the thing of tomorrow. It's already live. I might recall it bloody Smarty and the Three Disco Balls or something like that.
Smarty and right said Fred.
Yeah. Right and left said Fred.
And left said Fred.
What time are we on, Smarty, tomorrow? Same to quarter to eight?
Looking to go live at 8:15, but, you know, given what we normally do, you know, it'd probably be more 8:30, to be fair. But, yeah, we're going to try and get on as close to 8:15 as we can. So, like I say, you've got roughly 23 hours to get your questions in. We're going to review them. We're going to stick some together. We will be obviously letting people interact with him through the comments as long as there's no, you know, silly stuff. But no, it should be good. So if you are planning on watching, you know, we can't wait. Obviously, it's a hell
if anybody's of a if anybody's listening to the audio of this, the email address is autoknowbetterpod@gmail.com. If you want to send one, and you're listening to us and not watching because it's on a fucking visual in its mind.
Although that said, you know, this will probably end up coming out next week.
No, it's just a shit.
Well, I won't be hearing anyone else.
Force it through.
All right, okay. So, yes, autoknowbetterpod@gmail.com is where to send your questions in. So unless anyone's got a autoknowbitter or anything like that.
We've pretty much ranted all night, haven't we?
I think so. I think we may have covered everything. I'll let you hit the outro, Gilly, but... I think that's us done, lads. I mean, it's not been the best show. We've
Big
rambled.
Big Sam
we've...
for Wolves? Hang on.
Hey?
Big Sam for Wolves?
After Wolves?
Surely not.
Is that just an opinion? That can't be fact, that, surely.
It has to be.
That's got a Warnock job written all over it. One last job,
no
Sharon.
Chance.
Maybe surely not. Has anyone had a look?
Fucking hell!
Really. I did see a couple of comments earlier that I just wanted.
Do you know what? I've just googled Allardyce and Wolves, and apparently he's a Wolves fan.
Oh Christ!
Oh my goodness!
Wow!
Steve Morrison. Steve Morrison's looking for a job.
The Hawk,
man! I'm telling you.
The Hawk.
You reckon who's going down? Do we reckon at this stage before we just finish between the lot of us?
I think if you look at
Forest,
I thought Leicester were going to be down there, and then you look at what they did to Forest, and
yeah,
I think Forest are gone. I certainly think that they're going to be swapping gaffers before we get to end of January. But I don't think they've got much chance of doing anything this season. So personally, I think Wolves are in bother. For me, Southampton are in bother, but I think they'll just stay up, and it'll be Bournemouth that join. Forest.
Forest and Wolves. So you think Forest, Wolves and Southampton? Oh, no, sorry.
Forest, Wolves and Bournemouth.
Leicester out of the dark, yeah.
I think Leicester. I still think Leicester will fuck up, man. They've only played...
Oh, Leicester are out of it.
In a derby.
Yeah.
I mean, there's ages left of the season. We're only 8 games in. I know it's really premature,
But you look at Maddison and you look at Barnes and you look at Vardy and Daka. They've got... out of that. Whereas you look at some of the other sides, and
there's only 6 points separates relegation zone from Europe at the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's very early on.
So, and
Forest could field the other 11 players that they've got hiding in the wings as well. You know, they could completely change the team around.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Literally.
I think they'll get rid of that manager, me.
Cooper.
I do.
Oh, Cooper.
Yeah,
Cooper.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't think they should. I just think they will.
Your man's got a bit of a trigger happy thing. The owner, he's hired and sacked like 7 managers in 10 years for Olympiacos.
Isn't the owner the guys who have just sacked Corberan.
From Huddersfield?
From Olympiacos, yeah.
Olympiacos.
He owns Forest as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You never know. McCardigan, Parker could...
They've got a lot of players and they've got a lot of money. Do you know, I would be shocked if somebody don't make big moves for Benitez.
Really?
What, Forest?
Newcastle got him when they were shit. Yeah. Newcastle kept him when they were shit. They went down and kept him.
He loves
him.
Money, doesn't he? Yeah. He loves his fucking daughters, Benitez.
When he loves English football, any of those sides that are down there would do a lot in bringing him in.
Would you have him if he got the boots?
No.
Probably not, no.
Loves English football. Great man. No.
Yeah. I don't personally want him, but... No. But, you know, shit outside like that, yeah.
You'd like to think that we've, you know, like Barcelona, have adopted that kind of playing style, which Benitez just does not fit into, you know.
There'll be one of those teams that turns it around. There'll be one of those teams that just, they bring a manager in, they turn it around and they'll fly up and finish mid to lower the table, you know.
Palace did when they brought Vieira in.
Yeah. But I think you're right. There's three of those. I think Bournemouth are overachieving at the minute, so I think they've got a long way to drop. I think you're probably right.
Mitrovic is out for Fulham as well now, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's in. That's a big deal for them.
I think the bottom five will be Bournemouth, Southampton, Wolves, Leicester, Forest.
You don't think we'll be in that?
So as it is now,
Palace are in 17th and Bournemouth are 13th at the minute. Just based on the football that I've seen, I don't think we've got much to worry about, I'll be honest with you. I think we will sign somebody in January. I think we'll probably be 14th, 15th maybe.
I think between 12th and 9th we'll finish this season.
Do you really?
Reckon.
I'd fucking snap your hand off.
I'd snap your hand off for 17th.
10th and 4th.
If you guaranteed me now, I'd take it.
Would you? I wouldn't. Fuck that. I ain't going through another pissing season like last season. Fuck, no.
No, but if they offered you 17th now to end the season.
If it were guaranteed.
What, or gamble?
Yeah.
I'd gamble.
You'd gamble?
I'd gamble.
They're not taking the money, folks. They're not taking the money.
Maury's wigs never come off.
There's a video in video clips in Brand, and I really want to play it, but I don't know what it is.
Shall we run the roulette?
It'll be the G.
Fucking hell. Oh, Leeds have sold Rafinha, and they've sold Calvin Phillips, and they've brought in now bodies. They're going to struggle.
How long's O'Hara been Scottish?
Yeah. It was that one I clipped when I was taking piss out of Jay a while ago.
Oh, I think that's the funniest thing he's ever said, you know, and still to this day, the only.
Oh, dear. Right. I think we're going to call it there, chaps. It's been an absolute fantastic episode. Thank you, everyone, for joining and for commenting and all that
sort of stuff. See you tomorrow.
Remember to tune in tomorrow, and we'll see you all there.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke after-match podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.